SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Coast to coast.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast with Carver. Hi. I got to tell you, I was on Seattle in that game three in Seattle. I thought they'd, you know, after 20 years, win a game at home somehow, some way, walk off or others. Any chance at all that could happen? No. How about that bizarre game on Saturday in Seattle?
Just crazy. 18 innings. They go in that one. Peña ends up hitting the solo home run in the top of the 18th for Houston. Mariners, Scotty, they had a lot of chances in that game. In fact, they had more than Houston. Houston really had no traffic on the base paths throughout those extras. The Mariners had several times where they had traffic on the bases, and they just couldn't get that big hit to finally win it. And unfortunately for them, swept at home over the weekend. So the Astros get themselves
a couple
of extra days until Wednesday to wait for the winner of
the
Cleveland Yankees series. They never lose. And they are, of course, heavy favorites to win the World Series now, especially after what happened in the National League over the weekend. Let's start in Philadelphia, Scotty. The Phillies beat the Braves 8-3. They win the series in four. We love Bryce so much here on Coast to Coast. We had to get the icing on the cake from him on WIP Philly on Saturday. Here we go.
1-1, swinging a high fly. Deep left field, towards the corner. Rosario looking, and it is gone. Bryce Harper, an opposite field home run to tack on one more here in the eighth. It's 8-3, Phillies.
Put an exclamation on this one.
A guy never hits home runs to left field. He hits them to dead center and to right. That's it. And gap shot homers. I never seen him hit one to left, but he's got so much power. He's such a stud. And how about this guy making that decision to sign that big, gigantic deal and play for the lowly Phillies in Philadelphia and what it's turned into? Now he's in the playoffs. And he upsets the Braves, the World Series champs. I got to tell you, as far as I'm concerned, and his first 2 years there, 35 and 100, this guy has already earned every penny.
He has already earned every penny in Philadelphia, going to the NLCS. And on the San Diego side, Scotty, how about Manny Machado earning every penny that they have spent on him? The Padres finally found a way to beat the Dodgers. They win the series in four. They were down 3-0 in this game on Saturday. Find a way to score five in the seventh. And you know who else? How about Hader in the playoffs after a miserable 2 months from the trade deadline being in San Diego? He looks like his old self again. I mean, they couldn't touch that dude in any game in that series. Hader was blowing away the Dodgers, who won 111 games this year, Scotty. In fact, let's hear from Dave Roberts. Like, this dude was completely stunned afterwards that the Dodgers were going home. Dave Roberts afterwards.
Shock factor, very high. Disappointment, very high. It's crushing.
Can't win every year.
Each guy gave everything they had all year long and a tremendous season.
It's all for naught.
Good enough. Baseball is the unpredictability. And the tough thing about it is the same thing. Things could have gone either way today to impact the result of the game. It didn't. And we got beat in a series. So nothing I can say is going to make it feel any better. And obviously, we didn't expect to be in this position.
Well, it sucks for them, but their 111-win season is right down the toilet. I mean, there is nothing else left to say about. What are you going to talk about, all the wins you had? You lost three straight games to the Padres after winning the opener of the series 5-3. And the rest of the way, they got their ass beat. I mean, that's just all there is to it. And a team that they have literally had sex with, they beat them so many times. They own the Padres. Not anymore.
Not anymore, especially when the Padres beat them in a big spot like that. So just like we drew it up, Padres and the Phillies in the NLCS. Game one will be tomorrow night at Petco Park. Yu Darvish will start game one for the Padres. Now, the Phillies have not made an official announcement yet, Scotty, but you can bet your bottom dollar it's going to be Zach Wheeler who gets the ball most likely in game one for them. Well, so Wheeler, Darvish to start it.
Let's just talk about what you did. You have you took the Phillies to win the series, and you already had taken the Padres at 17-1 when they got Soto to win the World Series. So great betting by you.
Yeah, we had the Phillies. I took them to beat the Braves in that series. And now a ticket that honestly, 6 weeks ago, I just thought it was just going to sit in the account and nothing would happen with it. The morning that they got Soto, I got the Padres at 17-1 to win the World Series. And I'm holding that ticket now going into this series against the Phillies. So we'll see. We have three out of our final four. Either the Yankees or the Guardians will join Philadelphia, San Diego, and Houston. Hopefully later tonight, weather pending, Scotty.
I mean, the Bombers better get it done, or I'm going to be in a foul effing mood the rest of the week.
I know one thing. Everyone wanted Dodgers-Braves. That Philly-Padres series is going to be a lot of fun. Those are good baseball
games. Yeah, it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Glad to have everybody. Sirius XM, Channel 159, Sports Map, Sports Byline on Coast to Coast on a Misery Monday. Also, don't forget, you got a chance for that risk-free bet, a dime, a grand. We're giving you a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Just use the bonus code Coast to Coast. Coast, the number two, and Coast. Coast to Coast. Use that code at BetMGM and you're golden. $1,000 risk-free bet. You'll be styling. All right, Carver High, college football. How about those Vols?
Let me just tell you something. You talk about a great day of college football. Saturday was near the top with some of these games. And the absolute top of that was probably the game of the year. I don't think that this one will get matched between now and the end of the season. Tennessee beating Alabama 52-49. Back and forth they went in the fourth quarter and really the entire second half. Our friend Bob Kessling, Scotty, was on Coast to Coast last week. He's on Coast to Coast again today on the Vols Radio Network calling the last second win for Tennessee. Here we go.
To win the game against Alabama. Paxton Brooks to hold. Waiting for the snap. There it is. The kick on the way, and that kick is knuckling toward the upright, and it's good. Just gets over the upright. Chase McGrath wins the game for Tennessee. And here they come. Everybody sharing in the celebration. The student section mobbing the field. They're mobbing Chase McGrath. They're mobbing Hendon Hooker. What jubilation in Big Orange Country as the Tennessee Volunteers end a 15-game losing streak to the Alabama Crimson Tide.
I mean, the job that they have done at Tennessee with this football team, and they beat four teams that were ranked, and to beat Alabama in Knoxville at Neyland. I argued with Joe about it last week. He was convinced that Alabama would kill him, let alone lose to him. That Alabama's unbeatable. And I bet plus 233 on the Vols to win the game outright. And I had the nine. I mean, to tell you, that was a beautiful double. The daily double will do you every time. It was a perfect bet. I love it. I do not think Alabama is unbeatable. And they proved it on Saturday. They got beat. And I said, even with Bryant Young, they'll beat them. I said, he's going to play, and they're still going to beat them. And they did. when they fumbled, when Hooker fumbled and it went 49-42 Alabama, I thought that fumble was the end of him.
Yeah.
But he went down the field and scored again. And then the kid from Alabama missed the field goal from 50 yards wide right. And when they went down with no time left and got that field goal off, that knuckleball went through. That was all pandemonium in Knoxville. What a cool scene that was. I thought it was great for college football, Mike. I'm sick and tired of, frankly, Alabama being on national television every week and in every title game and in every playoff game and every championship game. It's Alabama this, Alabama that. I'm sick and effing tired of it. I will root for anyone that's playing Georgia, Alabama, Clemson. I don't care who it is. If it's Tennessee and USC, I'll cheer for them. UCLA, I don't care who it is. I am so sick and tired of Alabama and Nick Saban every effing day, every week of our lives, having that guy with his, you know, mud personality shoved down our throats. I'm so sick and tired of him blaming the media for all of his problems. He has no problems. He's got five-star athletes at every position, six deep. I'm sick and tired of hearing about that guy complaining about the media, blaming the media for everything. Why didn't he blame the media for getting his ass beat on Saturday in Knoxville? What's he saying now? He doesn't got nothing to say now, does he? He only uses the media when it benefits him. He ain't fooling me, that guy, that wise ass. He ain't fooling
you know
me. In
I
New York,
operate.
They'd slap him around with a bat to his knees with his smart mouth.
I can't stand Alabama. You know that. And you also know
sick
that I hate betting. I hate betting against him because I've lost so much money trying to beat him over the years that I'm like,
right.
I'm afraid to go after him. And look, I lost. I bet Alabama on Saturday. But that is a loss that I'm happy to take if they lose the game outright. Because I never like seeing them win. And let me tell you something else. That Hendon Hooker, he should be the favorite for the Heisman. And I know that's a dopey award that nobody really cares about anymore. He's gone to LSU and destroyed them down there. He beat Alabama at his place. And he didn't just beat them. It was a he was excellent in the game against Alabama, throwing for all those yards and touchdowns. What the hell has C.J. Stroud done this year that he's the – Hendon Hooker – is the best. He's been the best player in college football this year. There's just no questions asked.
Listen, Ohio State is good. I get it. It's also nice when you play no one. It's got to be great when you play no one. And the only game they play all year is Michigan in Columbus.
Right.
That's it. Every other game is a cakewalk. Tennessee had to prove themselves. The overtime win at Pitt. They've beaten four ranked teams. Give Hooker to Heisman now. All they do is give it to these guys at Alabama and Ohio State, and then they all end up bums in the NFL. Ohio State quarterbacks in the NFL, it just speaks volumes. They're all bums, every one of them. Not one of them's amounted to a hill of beans, and neither has Justin Fields. We already talked about Haskins. He's gone. God rest his soul. Bottom line is, every one of them stinks, every one of them. And then Alabama, Tua. We don't know what. Is he good or isn't he? We don't know, but he's been banged up. And you can go on and on. Now Mac Jones. People say he sucks all of a sudden. It never ends. What did A.J. McCarron do? Nothing. They're all great when they're in Alabama and Ohio State because they don't play anybody. I know Alabama plays a lot harder schedule than Ohio State, if you ask me. But everything goes their way. When you play at Alabama, you got five stars wrapped all around you. In every game, you're a 20-point favorite. They win every game they play, and they give these awards to these kids for whatever reason. This kid, Hooker, deserves it for what he's done this year in Knoxville. That's all there is to it.
And he's got another big one. The first Saturday in November, Tennessee goes between the hedges to take on Georgia, which will be, if they stay on, which they should get through the next couple of weeks, will be another massive top five game for them. This time on the road at that place will be a lot of fun.
They'll probably lose there because of home cooking.
It's a tough place.
Play in Tuscaloosa and you play in Athens, you don't get one call the entire day. That's how that works. You're not going to get one call the entire day. Not one. What I saw in the Texas game in Austin was downright felonious. It was felonies. Those refs were so bad on that Deckers targeting shot, the elbow to the head and the helmet to the skull, and his knee was down before he fumbled, and they could actually look at that video and say he didn't that he fumbled, saying that he fumbled. His knee was down for 5 seconds before he fumbled.
Yeah,
that ref, the head ref in that game, he has season tickets to Texas football games, and his wife and kids were in the seats. That was the worst ref I've ever seen in my life to a college football game, that guy.
And you're right about Ohio State. They only got one game they got to play. That's Michigan, because I don't want to hear about Penn State anymore. Franklin never beats anybody when it
matters.
They
suck.
They got destroyed.
That performance was vomit.
In the Big House.
Vomit.
Embarrassing job by them. TCU, big win. That overtime win over Oklahoma State, 43-40. Tremendous job by Sonny Dykes and the Horned Frogs. I was stunned that
Oklahoma State covered.
Lost that game. Utah beat USC 43-42. They roll the dice. They get the two-point conversion at the end, and they got the job done. You mentioned the Texas game over Iowa State. Illinois beat Minnesota. Georgia destroyed Vandy. Syracuse still undefeated. They play Clemson this week in Death Valley.
And they're going to get whacked. That'll be their
first
loss.
And they're going to get whacked.
Iowa State did cover for me against Texas in that corrupt game in Austin.
And
that game was
you
fixed.
Mentioned You mentioned the Notre Dame game. You mentioned Notre Dame with Jason before. What an embarrassing performance to lose that game at home to Stanford. That was worse than Marshall. Worse than the Marshall.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Adam Calvin is our NFL insider on Sports Grid TV and certainly coast to coast. You can catch him on Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays. Double shot on Friday for television style, but it is Monday. We got a big game tonight in SoFi, Lipstick City, Chargers, and the lowly Denver Broncos, one of Adam's favorite teams. As we talk about, thank God your Eagles are good because your Broncos sure aren't. The Broncos aren't going anywhere. But the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. So let's start with New York football. Who would have thunk it?
This is unbelievable. This is, to me, emblematic of this season for L, where we only have 10 teams out of 32 with a winning record. It's ridiculous. I mean, this is the way that the competitive balance, like the NFL will tell you, that which they've told me this is what they're looking for. But coming into the season, it's really crazy. The Giants were given an over-under of 7.5. Jets, 5.5. You know what's funny, Pharrell? You and I are at that draft in Vegas. We're doing our work here for Sports Grid. And even, I checked, even after their draft, they were not moved off of 5.5 wins. That's the way Vegas saw this. And most reasonable people would tell you, no one thought the Jets would be a very good football team. Why? The NFL's hardest schedule. That is the key here, Pharrell. The schedule is so difficult, but here we are. They've combined for 9-3 record, and it's not like they haven't had a great schedule. In fact, not only do the Jets have the toughest schedule, the Giants had a top 10 toughest schedule, and they've also been able to win. It's simply incredible. So, look, when you look at the Giants situation, now, let's be honest. You could say that the Ravens lost that game. This is a game where Lamar Jackson is typically careful with the football, turned the ball over twice. That was a problem, and they've got real problems at the wide receiver position. Both their starters are out once again. You and I talked about this on Friday with Golladay and Tony out. And they're finding new ways to score. Now this is the way teams that play the Giants look at it. You're not going to ask Daniel Jones to throw the ball very much. Play great defense, run the football. That has been their motto every week. Now, they've also shown the ability to come back in games. They've won 3 games where they've been down double digits. Now, the question is, how long can they keep this up? The schedule is really not great, but the thing is, they play a certain style. They kind of had to learn that. When you don't ask Daniel Jones to throw the ball a lot and you run it well, you're probably going to win, and they're hanging in there. Now, again, they're 5-1. Are they really as good as their record would indicate? No one thinks that. In fact, I could tell you, talking to the Giants, they kind of know who they are. They know if this is they're in the middle of a rebuild here. It's going to take some time, but they love that they're ahead of schedule. And the fans are just, they're blown away by this. Because remember, Joe Shane, the new GM here, he had to get through a very bad cap situation that Dave Gettleman left him with, and he's been able to get through that. They're taking massive cap charges this year to rebuild. Joe Shane, when he was with Buffalo, his boss, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, they did that there, and they're taking the same style here, and they're clearly ahead of schedule. So the Giants have been a great story. Let's face it, they've been unbelievable. What a great win that they had yesterday, the comeback win in London over the Packers. We'll have to get to the Packers as well. But let's not go crazy now. We're only through six games here. They have an amazing record of 5-1, one of the best certainly in the NFL. But I don't know if it's going to hold up all that long. But look, they're clearly ahead of schedule, and that's the story here.
Yeah, and I don't think you can say that it won't continue based on everyone's projections that they weren't supposed to be good or that they're in a rebuild. They are exactly who they are. They're 5-1, and they did it again, and Baltimore once again choked away a big lead. That's the third time they've choked away a big lead. The Ravens are overrated, and the Giants are underrated.
Oh, by the way, now, you know, I say, how long can they keep this up? We do need to mention this. So if you're a Giants fan, you have to love their next four opponents all have a losing record. The Jags, the Seahawks, or at least not over 500. Jaguars now, they're struggling at 2-4. The Seahawks, oh, they've been kind of fun to watch, and they're semi-rebuild. Or John Schneider, the GM, has always told me they don't rebuild, they retool. But they're doing a good job of mixing things in there. And then the Texans are coming off their bye. And the Lions are at least fun to watch, but they're bad. So, look, here's the deal. At the very least, they're going to push for a wild card. We know that. The Eagles clearly are a better football team, but they haven't played the Eagles yet. But I got to give them credit. They've been an amazing story in a year that, as you said, Pharrell, I mean, who saw this coming here? This has been an amazing story, and I'm here for it, no doubt.
How about the Jets going to Lambeau and kicking the Packers' teeth in?
That, to me, you just said it. Winning by 17, 27-10. I'm stunned by this. I did not see this coming. I don't think anyone would, unless you're a Jets fan. And let's be honest, I mean, with that schedule, the NFL's hardest schedule by anyone's standards, to do what they're doing here. Now here's why. You know, because you and I were together for that draft, and I said this is the best Jets draft on paper, probably 15 to 20 years. Oh, look, I'm saying it is now one of the best they've had in the last 30 years. Why? Sauce Gardner, unbelievable season so far. At cornerback, okay, out of Cincinnati, first rounder. Garrett Wilson doing a great job as a receiver. Breece Hall, he is in the running now for rookie of the year. He's been tremendous. In fact, he's another big reason why they've turned things around here. How about Elijah Vera Tucker, who was a tackle in college, moved to guard last year, guard this year, and then he had to move to right tackle and left tackle. Now he's at right tackle, filling in for another rookie who was starting Max Mitchell, who unfortunately has lost for the season due to a knee injury. And here's another story. And this one I heard about last week. Quinnen Williams apparently is playing out of his mind. You know, he had sort of been very up and down, a former first rounder in 2019. He's been incredible. Not only the 5 sacks, 12 quarterback hits. And what I was told is he's got his energy back. He's relentless. And they're coaching him hard here, and he's doing a phenomenal job. And look, they're doing a good job. And as I said with the Giants here, look at their schedule here. Coming up, it's not easy. But here's what I love, their ability to put teams away. To score 40 points in back-to-back weeks, okay? Then score 27. It's kind of hard to understand how they could do this, but they're so young and they're handling it, and they're handling success well so far. But that's the key here, Pharrell, for the Giants and the Jets. When things that happen aren't expected, coaches will tell you, how do they handle success? Do they get full of themselves? But it's been amazing to me. And look, they still have 11 games yet. Jets fans have to go out of their minds. I have a lot of friends who are Jets fans, and it's been a phenomenal story. And Joe Douglas, the GM, he drafts well. He believes in building through the draft, not through free agency. To me, that's the way you do it.
Well, I agree with that. The Steelers won all their Super Bowls because of drafts and no other reason whatsoever. And I think it's still the best way to end up winning Super Bowls is through the draft. And teams that are great at it build championship teams. I think Shane and Douglas, their stock is rising. I think Dable and Salah is rising. Their stock is going through the roof when everyone else around the league's stock, like Hackett, if he loses again tonight, this guy's stock's going to be, bullish. All I know is what's going on in New York, we haven't seen in forever. Like, no. They were both out of it by Halloween. The last 5 years, they were out of it by then. Tonight, we got a good one in L.A., the Chargers.
Hopefully.
And we get to watch Herbert. I don't care about – I'm not going to say anything good about the Broncos, nothing at all. They're playing a crappy team, the Chargers, tonight.
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. The Broncos are falling short, obviously. It's not just Russell Wilson. It's so many injuries now. Javonte Williams, their second-year running back, was done for the season with a multi-ligament injury. Garrett Bowles is lost for the season, their left tackle. Ronald Darby, now, who's one of the starting corners. They did get good news today. Justin Simmons, the starting safety, was activated off IR with his quadriceps injury. He'll play tonight. Greg Dulcich, who I love for this draft, who is a flex tight end. He had a hamstring injury. He's going to play tonight. That'll help them. But they got to be able to tech Wilson. But the key here is, okay, the key here is he's got to get rid of the football. That he holds on to the ball too long. He got away with it, Pharrell, in Seattle, but he's not getting away with it anymore. And he's completely indecisive. Let's get over to the Chargers here, because that's the team you want to talk about. They're a 4.5-point favorite here. When you really look at it on paper and based on the way both teams are playing, they should be a 7-point favorite. I get SoFi's not a great home field. But the Chargers, the last two games, their unbelievable game against Cleveland last week. They finally ran the ball well. And I'm told Justin Herbert, off the coaching tape, if you remember the first game back, when he's come back from his rib injury, you and I talked about that after the game, how bad he looked. He's right. Not limited at all. He looks terrific. And here's another story on why the Chargers have turned around their season here. So they lose Rashawn Slater, their left tackle for the season, to a biceps, okay? They start this kid, Jamari Sailor, right? It's a sixth rounder out of Georgia who is mostly a guard who could play right tackle. He's playing left tackle now. He's been terrific. They've not lost anything with losing Slater. This has been a great story. As I said, they ran the ball well, and they're doing okay defensively. Not great without Joey Bosa. Bosa will not be back until probably sometime in December after the groin surgery, but they've got their offense going on, and Herbert is the running again for MVP. He's been terrific. And the other story here is they're finding a way to get the ball to other receivers under Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen has not played since week one. He's out tonight with that lingering hamstring problem. Though I'm told he's getting closer to playing, he will not be available tonight. Big Mike Williams has been incredible. 17 catches, 254 the last two games. He's been amazing. Gerald Everett at tight end. And their offensive line, their much beloved offensive time, has given him time to throw the football. So they clearly the better team right now.
Yeah, and I mean, people are starting to really get worried about Russell Wilson and the way he's looked in Denver.
Plus, his shoulder's bothering him. With the right shoulder's an issue. Now, the question for him is, if they protect, is he going to start scrambling around? Will he get rid of the football? The hope is here with the running game. Melvin Gordon's a little bit banged up. Hopefully, he'll be able to get through the game. Latavius Murray, by the way, who did great for New Orleans before going back to the practice squad. He should make his debut tonight for Denver. They got to be able to keep on schedule and help Russell Wilson run the football. But clearly the Chargers are the better team, and they're competing. In fact, if they win tonight, my friend, they'll be very close to the Chiefs here, who had a tough loss yesterday.
Yeah, they sure did, because the Bills are the best team in the NFL, better than your Eagles as well.
I think
most people believe that. We'll see you Thursday, Adam. Great stuff. Enjoy the game tonight.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back on Coast to Coast, and it's time for Coach Young to join us to get our fill as we get ready to fill it up. Tomorrow night, the NBA season kicks off with a nice doubleheader in San Francisco and in Boston. In San Francisco, it'll be the Lakers and Warriors, the nightcap. First up, JoJo and Harden and company taking on the Celtics. Philly goes to Boston to see the team that went to the finals that lost to the Warriors, the Celtics. Doubleheader on TNT tomorrow night. Who do you like in those games? Do you like the doubleheader to start it off with these four? Because I think the Lakers suck, but of course they're always the featured attraction.
Of course they're going to put the Lakers on, but let's go to the first game first, Scotty. Give me Philadelphia plus the points. Philadelphia 7-1 against the spread the last eight games in Boston. Boston's got too many issues, Frill. We know about Ime Udoka. No Robert Williams. Al Horford hasn't looked great, but I think it's more about Philadelphia here, Scotty. We got to talk about that. I think Embiid's going to be motivated. Harden's in a great shape. They bring in P.J. Tucker, and Tyrese Maxey, to me, is the X factor of two guards you have to defend and are going to have trouble with him. Give me Philadelphia plus the points.
Yeah, I like that bet. And then it's the Dubs minus six. I want to ask you, well, obviously, who you like there. I like the Dubs, but what is going to happen now that they gave all the money to Wiggins and to Poole with Sucker Punch Green? Will he ever be the same on that franchise again, or do they move him before they – they're not going to give him another deal, are they, when he's punching people that work with him?
They're not going to give him a deal that he wants the max. Let's be honest. And Scotty, is he a max player? To me, he's not a max player. What has he shown? I mean, Jordan Poole said he's the king of the triple single. I mean, that guy really came at his neck. Maybe he's going to go in Jordan Poole's pool and start swimming a little bit. But in regard to the game, Golden State minus the points. I know they came out and said that no starters are ready to play 30-plus minutes. That's why you see Steph Curry's point prop drop a little bit, probably into 23.5. 24 and a half range, but this is one of these games where the Lakers aren't good, folks. If you really think about it, let's be honest, Pharrell, name a team in the preseason that has looked worse than the LA Lakers.
No one. I mean, it's not even close
what's going on.
Listen, here. They bore me. Let's talk about something that matters. That video you had where you're coaching the kid and the girl's shooting, you know, driving, dribble drive layups. Who's the girl? And who is the girl, first of all, so I can better understand this? Who is she?
She's Nina's one of the girls I've been training for a couple of years. She's going to be a sophomore, Middletown South High School. It's come a long way. But one thing I've really quick is people need to realize when you shoot layups, people rock the ball, so it's easy to get stripped. So I was trying to teach her to keep that ball on the outside hip, protect the ball, get it to the basket, body up the ball away, basket and a foul.
That's great coaching. Here's another bit of coaching for you. Chop's going to go right through her like butter that's melted on top of the stove. That girl ain't stopping Chop. So set it up. You get a little sophomore against a freshman. Watch the freshman take her to lunch and make her pay the tab. That's what's going to happen there. You get Chop out there. You see her go. Ain't nobody taking a ball from her when she's dribbling to the hole. You're going to find out the hard way. All right, let's talk about Wednesday night. There's actually better games. Zion against KD, Kyrie, and that freak North-South, my guy Ben Simmons, who is unguardable, unstoppable, can lob pass and dime drop and finish at the 10 with dunks and layups better than anyone in the league, 6'10.5", and can guard all five spots. Anyone that thinks Ben Simmons sucks, I hate you forever.
And I agree with you. I think Ben Simmons is going to be a really good addition to Brooklyn. I think, for all, he's one of the least of their problems, if you really think about it. So when you look at this game, you know, but the Nets being -3.5, but I'm still going to go with New Orleans. I like this team. I like them having CJ McCollum for the entire season. Zion looks like he's really in shape. But what I would look for in the morning when they start putting the lines out, Pharrell, is look at the rebounds plus assists for Ben Simmons. I think he's going to lead the Nets in assists. You're right. He's a lob threat to catch it. But he's also a lob threat to throw it. You space the floor with shooters like Harris, Durant, Kyrie, lob threat, and a guy like Nicholas Claxton. Look at the assist or the rebounds plus assists for a guy like Ben Simmons against New Orleans.
Bro, I watched him take everything the Greek freak could throw at him, and he did not push Simmons around at all. He forced Antetokounmpo into bad shots. He had his fair share of, you know, dunks or whatever in that game, but he got stopped by Simmons. He did nothing in that game because Simmons is eye-to-eye with him at 6'10". The other guy's 6'11". This guy is a 6'10.5 guard. He is absolutely a problem. I don't care. I don't want him to ever shoot a three. I don't want him to go to the line. I don't want him to mid-range. I want him to run north and south, finger roll, dunk, lob pass, find the shooters in the wells, in the corners, on the wall, anywhere that he makes passes and plays. That's who he is. He's a defender and a playmaker and a finisher, a dunker, a finger roll, a layup, a kiss, or a lob pass. No one can stop him. When he jumps, he's 9 feet in the air. He is absolutely unguardable. You know what I know. The reason they hate him is because he can't shoot threes and free throws, and they call him all kinds of names. He gets more abuse. For a guy with that much talent, he gets abuse for no reason at all. He is going to go off this year if he's healthy. Back, everything else. If he's healthy, he's going off. How about this one? The Knicks will go to Memphis and get whacked Wednesday night by you-know-who.
Yeah, they're going to get whacked, and I'm a Knicks fan. Let's be honest. They can't guard Ja Morant. That's what it comes down to, is if you look at New York, okay, and they're going to be better, and they're going to play with pace, that plays into the hands of the Memphis Grizzlies. For all they want to get up and down and make this a transition game. And Jalen Brunson, as much as I love him, is not a defender. Neither is RJ Barrett, decent defender. Randall, not a defender. Evan Fournier, not a defender. So the way I look at it is take a look at the Grizzlies to cover. If you want to take someone with the Knicks, take Mitchell Robinson's either blocks or rebounds. Why? Because there's going to be lanes coming right down the alley, and Mitch is going to have to block some shots and get some rebounds. So that's where I would play it with the Knicks. But as regards to a game, tough spot opening night with that young team. They're going to be playing whoop that trick, whoop that trick. And the Knicks are about to be that trick that gets whipped.
So how about this one? The MVP favorite going into the season is Luka, who lives on the second floor, opening up against D-Book and the Suns in the Valley.
This is going to be a problem for Dallas. I think Dallas is going to regress, Pharrell. I really do. And although Phoenix has these issues, I think the guy that's going to have to be the center of attention, so to speak, is DeAndre Ayton. Bro, you got the bag. So now you're going up against JaVale McGee and Dwight Powell. I mean, bro, you can't get me a 20 and 10 piece? Going against those two jabronis? I mean, Fred, you can drop 20 and 10 on those two. So I'm looking at the Phoenix Suns with that high pick and roll game to get the big boy going early. Give me the Suns to cover, and give me DeAndre Ayton to go 20-plus points opening night.
Listen, Ayton, I mean, cheer the F up, bro. You got the bag. Have you ever seen someone so loaded be so miserable, like not care and just not be into his gig? I mean, if I made that kind of money, I wouldn't even wear underpants. What do you think the difference is going to be for having Jamal Murray back on the floor with the big fella? You know, I've talked about this with you. Jokic having Murray, to me, is everything. I don't trust Porter's body and the rest of that Nuggets team. You can talk all you want. But having him back, and I know he tweaked his hammy, but he's going to be fine with that. It's the knee. Rebuilt the knee. Murray's a badass.
He is an absolute badass. And that over 50.5 win total, Pharrell, is looking mighty tasty to the coach. Here's the thing. That two-man game, pick-and-roll game between Jamal Murray and the Joker is dynamic. And now you don't have to depend on the Joker to score a ton. Yes, you get Michael Porter Jr. back. But what's the big key out of this, Pharrell? Aaron Gordon goes to being the number two scorer to the number four scorer. That's what he is. KCP is a starter. Jeff Green, and you know my boy, Nation Bones Highland. I'm all about Bones Highland. Little nugget there. Maybe look at him at either the most improved market or the sixth man of the year market. Think about 20 to run right now on Bones Highland. Expect a big year. He'll play a lot end of game with Jamal Murray in the backcourt.
Everybody's favorite coach, Spoelstra, and the Heat open up against the Bulls in Miami. It's only six. I think they can handle that. I do not like the Bulls.
Oh, the Bulls? Bro, I don't even know if the Bulls are going to make the playoffs. That's how bad I think the Bulls are going to be. So I'm all in on the Miami Heat this year. You know I always are about them. I think the Bulls are going to take a big step back. This Lonzo injury is a lot worse than people are thinking. I think they're going to miss him. I think DeRozan comes back to the pack a little bit. LaVine will be LaVine, and Big Voos can't stop you or me or Dwight Powell or you know, JaVale McGee. So they're going to struggle with Bam. Look for that to be a double-digit win for the Miami Heat.
Yeah, I think so. Magic and Pistons will be interesting. Banchero starts his NBA career for real now against Cade Cunningham, Sadiq Bey, and a tough physical Pistons team in the Motor City. Good game.
Give me the Motor City kid, Pharrell, all day, every day. Listen, I'm going to give you something. Here's my one of my big takes of the season. I think the Detroit Pistons are going to make the play-in tournament. I think that if you look at it, Indiana, better than them. Charlotte, better than them. Orlando, better than them. Indiana, better than them. So you're right there. They got to get over one more team. I think they're going to do it. I love this backcourt of Cunningham and Jade Ivey. I think they're going to be dynamic with Sadiq Bey and Isaac Stewart in the frontcourt. And Bogdanovich was a big trade because it brings them a shooter. Take a look at that because it's paying at about 3.5-1 or greater for the Pistons to make the play-in tournament.
Wow. How about the Cavs and Raptors in Toronto? And you got Spida now on a Cavs team that was pretty damn good last year against a tough Toronto team. And you already know who they got. They stay the same, basically.
And it stays the same, and I'm going to keep going with them. Give me the Toronto Raptors. But, Pharrell, two teams I'm really high on to get over their win total. Great coach and Nick Nurse with that their culture and that structure, but Spider Mitchell with Darius Garland in the backcourt with those two big boys up front as rim protectors, and Kevin Love, he may got the gray hair like the coach, but he still brings it. I like both teams to go over their win totals on BetMGM.
I'm bummed out LaMelo's not going to play in their opener. I'm bummed out Lonzo's knee's not ready, so he's not going to be in that Chicago lineup for a while. I can't wait to start betting on the NBA tomorrow, Wednesday, and every day with you, Coach. As always, a pleasure having you on. Now that the NBA's back, we can start going off again right here on C2C with basketball bets and prop bets every night. I love you, brother, my man.
Hey, we're going to be bowling.
Chop's going to take that girl to the hall. You better tell that girl to have another milkshake, son.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pharrell, finish time real quick. Carver High, some great hockey games tonight. You can get a lot of my plays at PharrellOnTheBench.com, but Pittsburgh and Montreal, Anaheim at the Rangers at the Garden, Toronto hosts Zona, Vancouver's at Washington against Ovi, Colorado and Mini, the game of the night in Minneapolis, the Avs and Wild, Jets, Dallas in Dallas, Carolina's at Seattle. I think that could end up being a good game as well. How about Florida, Boston in Beantown, Kings, Detroit in the Motor City? So you're going to get a lot of good pucks tonight. And a lot of my plays are on my site, so go check it out. 14-year-old steals a Mustang, runs out of gas, and then bravado style for Carver High, jumps off a bridge with the escape route. I love my boy. Steals the Stang, gets out, jumps off a bridge, swims downriver, escapes. That is badass. Border Patrol finds $420,000 worth of liquid meth hidden in pumpkins. You carving pumpkins tonight, Carver High, with a little liquid meth? Indian witch doctor and a married couple accused of chopping up and eating a woman in a sadistic human sacrifice party. That just sounds fantastic. Carve her up and the two of you go Dahmer on them and have dinner eating their legs. Idaho man charged with stabbing and killing his mother. I love you, mommy, but not enough to not stab you 75 times in the chest. 18-year-old in Alabama charged with rape, robbery, sexual torture of a college student. What a lovely country we live in. American Airlines passenger wedged between obese people on a flight asks for reparations. Getting sandwiched between the two fat people. What could be worse on a four-hour flight? Oh, my God. Missing Texas teen found in Nebraska with a dead body in the trunk. Can we check your bag, sir? I'd rather you not. But we're going to check them anyway. They smell. What's this we have here? Oh, a body. Pool Boy's new book recalls sex with Jerry Falwell Jr.'s wife. Nothing like tapping the minister's wife when you're cleaning the pool. GTD is next. See you tomorrow on Coast.